Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go on a Wednesday. We are absolutely packed. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we are live in beautiful Los Angeles on iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Walter Jones, the best player, along with Russell Wilson in the history of the Seahawks franchise. Big Walt's going to be joining us today. One of the great left tackles in the history of football. One of the 25 greatest players ever. We'll be joining us today, and Joy Taylor is joining me. Joy, how are you?
I'm great. Good morning.
You know, I'm thinking, Joy, we talk about we talk a lot about this Dak Prescott because he doesn't have a contract yet,
right.
And Jerry keeps getting asked about the contract. And let me tell you how the whole negotiation thing works. It's not about stats, and it's not just about wins. Negotiations are about leverage. They're about how bad does your company need you? Do they have somebody that can replace you? That's why Howard Stern makes $90 million a year. There was no backup to Howard Stern. He was carrying FM radio. So his value is the greatest ever in the history of radio. Rush Limbaugh's good, but there's Hannity, there's Savage, there's FM people. So Rush gets a lot of money, but Howard makes 2 to 3 times as much. It's leverage, not just ratings. When you look at Dak Prescott, we're all getting caught up. Well, he won, he's struggling in the stats. First of all, Jerry Jones has his back. And here's what Jerry Jones said about Dak struggling recently in his number.
The narrative about his financial as opposed to how he's playing is frankly laughable. It's just not that way. It's too much on both ends of that for the team. It's too much for Dak to equate his performance stats or one loss here these first two or three games. Let me get that real clear. It is not impacting that with me at all.
Okay, here's the way, instead of rating Dak as a quarterback, you know, which is very subjective, I look at it right now in a perfect order. If you listed the top quarterbacks in the league, perfect order on their importance to the team, leverage, percentage of offense, you know, durability, age, all those comprise leverage. Think of the word leverage. You go in and negotiate and you got leverage. There's only 10 guys in the league, to me, that have the advantage over ownership in leverage. Number one is Patrick Mahomes. He's the new Uber talent. Number two is Russell Wilson, the greatest playmaker at quarterback of my life. Aaron Rodgers is three. Have you seen the Packers without him? Carson Wentz is the closest thing to Mahomes. He's four. Tom Brady is five. Age hurts him. Belichick's greatness hurts him, but he makes everything work. Deshaun Watson, have you seen that offense without him? You remember the Brock Osweiler years? Number six, Jimmy Garoppolo. Listen, they're 10-2 with him. They've got an amazing offensive coach, and he's the trigger man for it. Jared Goff is 8. Todd Gurley's injury actually gives him more leverage. They've never needed Goff more. Number 9 is Big Ben, down the list because of injuries and age, but you watched the Steelers last week. And number 10, Drew Brees. Bridgewater moving in and winning gives you a glimpse of the separation between Drew and Teddy. It's not as great as you think. After those 10, the leverage to me goes to the ownership. Those 10 have the leverage. But Matt Ryan, well, Matt Ryan's better than Dak. He's under 500 since Kyle Shanahan left. I, as an owner, would squeeze Matt Ryan for every penny. I would go back. I would push back on his agent. I'd say, you know, a lot of these young quarterbacks are working. He's not much of an athlete. Since Kyle Shanahan left, his numbers are okay, but he can't win games. Well, Derek Carr is better than Dak. I think so, but last year was a mess with Gruden. This year is good with Gruden, but how much is Derek Carr and how much is that awesome running back from Alabama? Colin, Matt Stafford is better than Dak. Yeah, but you could actually win an occasional playoff game or a division. You're getting kind of old, and frankly, there's a lot of good young college quarterbacks. So actually, Dak, outside of the 10, Dak's got as much leverage as anybody else. The owner likes him. In a franchise that has chaos, he's a leader. Is he limited? Yes. But does Dallas really want to, with all these young players, want to go roll the dice in another quarterback? We too often look at quarterbacks and we say, well, this guy's better, this guy's better, this guy's better. It's not a better thing. I've been in this business almost 30 years in radio and TV, and I've worked with people who are pretty talented with big leverage and people who are really talented with not a lot of leverage. Dak's leverage point, it's in the Matt Ryan, Matt Stafford, Baker Mayfield, Phillip Rivers. By the way, Phillip Rivers is better than Dak. But if you're the Chargers right now, aren't you going, well, he's 0-9 against Brady. Mahomes now in our division. Really? I mean, we shouldn't draft a quarterback? So for all those who bang on Dak, he is, with the majority of the NFL quarterbacks, has some leverage, but he's not a blank check guy. And Jerry has every right to push back aggressively to his agent and get the number he wants. And never forget, Jerry's done this a lot. Jerry can talk all he wants. Jerry's got a number in his head right now. Jerry's got a number. He may move off that number a little. That number could be 29 and a half, but Jerry's done this for 25 years. He has got a number, and it's not a blank check. Let me shift to this. I am America's honesty broker. I am often critical of people, but there's no agenda here. When teams are good, they're good. When they're bad, they're bad. Yesterday, I crushed Baker Mayfield because he was atrocious. But I also said I predicted Cleveland would be 9-7, and I still think they're going to finish at 9-7. Freddie Kitchens talked about yesterday not panicking.
I mean, I don't think we had anybody give up or anything like that. No, I thought we were still fighting, you know. Contrary to popular belief, we had our chances, and we didn't do it. We had our chances. When we look at the tape as a team, we had our chances. Everybody will recognize that. In the building, the people that matter are the ones that will recognize it, and we'll move on. We'll get better, you know. We'll get better from it. We've got a lot of guys in situations that they've never been in. We're not panicking, all right? We're going to line up and play the next game. There's 11 more.
Yes, the Browns are exactly where I thought they would be, and I told you yesterday they will finish at 9-7, at worst 8-8. But here's the truth about the Browns when everybody thinks in Cleveland the world's picking on the Browns. You are the luckiest team, actually, in the NFL. You're incredibly lucky. First of all, think about this. Andrew Luck retired. Roadblock removed. Big Ben in your division, play him twice, hurt, removed. Sam Darnold, week two, mono, removed. What other team has those breaks through five games? Oh, by the way, you get the one team in the NFL that's tanking on your schedule, Miami. By the way, the AFC North now, and I don't even think it's arguable, is easily the worst division in football. They're 3-11 out of division, and the wins are the Dolphins, Jets, and Arizona. Your season would be over in the NFC West. It would be over in the NFC North. Also this year, it's six different times this year. The Browns will face a coach in his first year with his new team. That's among the highest percentage in the NFL. That's almost half your schedule. Listen, if you beat Seattle this weekend, if you beat Seattle this weekend, Monday night was the low point of your season. It's all in your lap. That's the low point of the season. If you beat Seattle, you're 500. Now, here's the problem. If you lose to Seattle this weekend, I think it unravels because then you go, to New England, to Denver, and Buffalo. And Buffalo and New England are the two best defenses in this league, and Denver is two clock-expiring field goals from having a winning record. Good luck in that altitude. It's rough. If you want to talk about luck, the Colts have had terrible luck. 2 weeks before the season, Andrew Luck retires. Then, early in the season, Darius Leonard, their best defensive player, gets hurt. That's bad luck. Bad luck is the New York Jets, whose star quarterback gets a high school sickness, mono. I don't know anybody that's had mono in 25 years. It happens, generally not to franchise quarterbacks. Colts and Jets have had lousy luck. Cleveland's been the luckiest team in the league, and if they beat Seattle at home, and I think they can, Monday night was the low point. Monday night was the low point. You're going to get the Steelers twice without Big Ben, a Ravens team at home that can't pass, Cincinnati, the worst team outside of Miami on the planet twice, and Miami, the official NFL tanking team. Haven't had one of those since the Colts pre-Andrew Luck. So this Cleveland, you can bellyache about the media picking on you. You have gotten incredible, incredible breaks this year. Andrew Luck, Big Ben, and Sam Darnold. Retire, hurt, and mono. That should be your brand this year. He retired, he got hurt, he got mono. Beat Seattle, you're 500. Money's your low point.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
I want to apologize in advance if my facts get in the way of your pom-poms, but this is remarkable. So 25 NFL executives, they're anonymous, by the way. Thank God they're anonymous or they should all be fired, or all but 14. 25 NFL executives picked one quarterback to win one game. So you get one quarterback, one game. Apparently these executives work formerly at Blockbuster Video and Radio Shack and potentially Enron. So Tom Brady obviously got the most votes. Patrick Mahomes got half the votes of Tom Brady. No, timeout. I'm just going to, again, let's talk one game, right? Sort of like Tom and Patrick did play that one game. It was called a playoff game in Kansas City, and Patrick couldn't score in the first half. Here's Patrick Mahomes, a super talented kid. Here's the biggest 6-1 game situations in his career. New England, playoffs, AFC Championship. Lost. Indianapolis playoffs, won. Regular season, Sunday Night Football, New England, lost. Monday Night Football against the Rams, the game moved from Mexico, lost. Thursday Night Football against the Chargers at Arrowhead, where they could have lost home field advantage, lost. Sunday Night Football against Seattle and Russell Wilson, ooh, the next Russell Wilson, lost. Again, sorry if my facts get in the way of your pom-poms. He's 1-5 in his 6 biggest NFL games. By the way, he's lost his last 4 primetime games. Thursday Night Football, Sunday Night Football, Monday Night Football. He's 0-4. Now, I'm not saying he's Kirk Cousins, but let's go to Tom Brady's last 9 playoff games. He's 8-1. The one he lost, he threw for over 500 yards. Okay. I like Patrick Mahomes. First of all, Big Ben should be nowhere near this list. If there's a second, it's Russell Wilson. I mean, how many times does he have to be great late for us to go, heh, heh. Patrick Mahomes has not proven he can win the big single game. He's proven he's talented. He's proven that he's exciting. He's proven that he's a franchise quarterback. He's proven that he's worth a ton of money. He has proven without a shadow of a doubt he is the future, not only of the Chiefs, not only of the AFC West, but perhaps the future of the AFC and the NFL. That I'm not denying. But the executives were asked to pick one quarterback to win one game. We do not know. In fact, the current evidence is he loses those games. 4 turnovers against the Rams. Big turnover against New England. Couldn't score in the first half in the playoff game. Folks, this is that shows you half the executives in this league should be working at Blockbuster Video, because that's just not smart. By the way, the only one that was quoted said, "Really? Really?" said one scouting director, "Give me the GOAT." Yeah, There's only room for one goat in this little barn. There's one goat. There's no other goat.
What's up, everybody? John Middlecoff with the 3 and Out podcast, brought to you by Colin Cowherd and his podcast network. You like football? You'll like my show. That's all I'm talking. Football, football, and more football. Coming up on Tuesday's show, Baker Mayfield, Freddie Kitchens get taken to the woodshed by Kyle Shanahan. What does it all mean? The Packers, the Cowboys, how did the Bears get beat down by John Gruden? I talk it all. Again, 3 and Out podcast. Go subscribe with me, John Middlecoff.
Nick Wright, co-host, First Things First. You know, he has been very pro Baker Mayfield. I have been very cautious with Baker Mayfield. There's a lot of nonsense I don't like. So joining me via the Coward Global Satellite Network, would you even acknowledge, Mr. Wright, would you even acknowledge it is troubling with the kind of roller coaster, awful against Tennessee, awful against San Francisco, excellent against Baltimore, that some of that inconsistency, you could kind of connect that to Baker's inconsistency and immaturity, that, you know, Baker sometimes his stuff, his personality gets him into a little trouble. Is that unfair to say?
Well, I don't know if it's his personality, but I do know this. Baker Mayfield's been a train wreck this year. I sat here on this show 6 weeks ago and said of the young quarterbacks after Patrick Mahomes, Baker would be my first pick. You asked me if I had a television because I took him in front of Deshaun Watson. I said yes. And I listen, Baker in every category, it looks disastrous. If these were his first five games, if we didn't have last year, where, by the way, it should not be forgotten, last year he did set the NFL record for touchdown passes by a rookie quarterback, we would be gravely concerned. We knew going into this year the offensive line could be an issue, and we knew going into this year a guy who 12 months ago, the highest he had ever gone in an organization was running backs coach, being your head coach, could be an issue. What I didn't know, and maybe you did, was that Baker could regress to this point. In every statistical category, he's been a bottom five quarterback so far this year. The only quarterback since Baker's become a starter to throw as many picks as him are Josh Allen, Josh Rosen, Jameis Winston, and Jared Goff, a quarterback who I also have concerns about. I'm not selling all my Baker stock, but unlike you with Bitcoin as of late, I'm not buying more. I'm going to hold what I have
okay. And
just see. I'm going to try to ride this out for now.
I did say this. I feel like when they get Kareem Hunt November 10th, you're asking Freddie Kitchens to now use Jarvis Landry, Nick Chubb, Odell Beckham, Kareem Hunt. Next year, David Njoku, a terrific tight end. And I look at it and I think to myself, this would be asking Sean McVay a lot. This is a lot of mouths to feed. Odell Beckham right now and Baker, it feels forced. They have major offensive line issues. I would go and call the Redskins and say, we'll take Trent Williams. You get OBJ. I just feel like it's not working. It feels forced. They've got to solve their O-line issues. Is that crazy?
Well, it's two separate things. Like, should they try to trade for Trent Williams? Yes. Would effectively trading one and two threes, which is what they gave up for Odell, would that be overpaying for Trent Williams? Yes. Would giving up on Odell right now be crazy? Absolutely. Like, my God, I'm glad you weren't one of the executives in the first 5 weeks of First Things First. Chris and I didn't have our chemistry exactly right. I'm not one of the foundational four. You'd have been like, get rid of this kid. He was good with me, not good elsewhere. Give it time, man. We can't throw Odell out after a month of football. He's the most talented player on their offense. I believe they will get it together. And I don't still understand why. If your belief is you got to move on from one of the receivers, it's the guy who's been better than Jarvis at every step of their career. They will make it work with Odell, I believe, and you don't give up on him before Halloween of his first year there.
So NFL execs, listen, there's a lot I know about Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
He's a franchise guy. He's the best quarterback in his division. He'll probably dominate the AFC for 12 years. He's worth every penny. But if you're asking me, can he win the individual single game? No, that's what I don't know yet. Think it'll happen, but he's 1-5 in his biggest 6 NFL games. 0-4 in his last standalone primetimers, and NFL executives voted him, gave him half as many votes as Tom Brady for the one game, one quarterback. Don't you think, even as a Mahomes fan, that's a little ridiculous?
I think it's ridiculous that anyone would claim Tom Brady right now as the guy they'd want at this. Listen, you don't get GOAT credit. I got a lot to say on here, so give me a second.
Okay.
First of all, Brady's played one defense all year. In that defense, it was the Buffalo Bills. He had the worst game he's had in 13 years. That's just a fact. The other four defenses he's played are combined 1-17. So let's take a deep breath and recognize he's 42 years old and it kind of looks like it this year. That's first of all. Second of all, the 1-5 for Mahomes is six biggest games. I'm not sure what you're using to define them other than, well, he's 1-1 in the playoffs and I'm going to pick his other four biggest games as four losses because he only has five other losses. So I'd like to see the equation on what those games were because he did get the one seed last year. Two other points on this. One is I want the audience to understand that Colin, however frustrating this is, not only is this totally authentic, this is who he is off the air. I'm going to betray a confidence. I'm going to read a text from you, the last one I received. This is right after the Chiefs lost on Sunday night.
Yeah.
Colin texts me this. In our house, we call Mahomes Mr. Fancy Passer. We also call Tom Brady once a year to congratulate him on another Super Bowl. And then a goat emoji. This is who that man is right there. And it is the most frustrating thing I've ever experienced. And now, lastly, I'm going to say this, and it's a question for you. If Patrick Mahomes had beaten Tom Brady in the AFC Championship game last year to go to the Super Bowl, would you have considered that winning the game? Would that have been proof?
Yes, of course. AFC Championship, beating Tom in that moment, absolutely.
Okay. Okay, so then I remind you that the way that game went was after Patrick Mahomes played a terrible half of football, he led his team to 31 second half points against a defense that since then, by the way, has allowed two touchdowns in 24 quarters of football, including the Super Bowl. He led his team to four touchdowns and a field goal in the second half to take the lead. And that game ended with Tom Brady, your hero, your icon, the man I assume you pray to in the evenings, throwing an interception to end the game. And Dee Ford was off sides by 3 inches and Patrick Mahomes never touched the ball again. So if your belief is, I would believe in Patrick Mahomes had he won that game was won. Brady threw a pick, it was over. So Mahomes has already done enough to prove it to you. You just need, I mean, Brady could be Jordan with the Wizards at this point. You're still gonna say, man, I want him taking the last shot. I don't feel that way, and I think there were seven GMs that got this right. I don't know what the guy who picked Big Ben, what he was thinking. I assume it's Kevin Colbert. And those 14 who picked Tom Brady, you don't get legacy points in this. It's not in the history of the league at their apex. One guy is at his apex. Another guy has been mediocre at best this season, carried by his defense and his coaching staff.
But I was going to ask another question, but just read the text one more time.
Ain't no time.
Yeah.
So okay.
I can tell you this. I did send this text to him after the Chiefs lost. Go ahead. Yeah. This makes me laugh.
Yeah. Well, I'll go a text further back. Chiefs defense will be their undoing from Colin Cowherd, 9:21 p.m. Eastern time, Sunday night, as I'm stewing in the Chiefs loss and my financial ruin. I respond, Patriots offense ain't that good. I like our chances. He responds, in our house, we call Mahomes, quote, Mr. Fancy Passer, end quote. We also call Tom Brady once a year to congratulate him on another Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
New text, a goat emoji, and that's the last we've spoken until right now. And it is infuriating. Just totally infuriating.
You know, it's funny. Nick never sent any message back on that. He wouldn't even respond.
So
I knew he was furious. Oh. I knew he was so mad.
I really like your brand of trash talk.
I'm still mad. Our relationship is now 12 minutes once a week here. That's it.
Nick Wright, first things first. Good seeing you, buddy.
See you, man.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Some things I do well, some things I don't. And I think as you get older, you admit what you don't do well. I was probably too insecure. just not mature enough in my 20s to admit what I was not good at. And I think as you get over and make mistakes, you get more secure in yourself, you grow, you get smarter, you're like, yeah, I'm crappy at that. And I tell people all the time, about 32 years old, 33 years old, I finally realized what I wasn't good at, and it was like freedom. I'm like, oh, I'm not going to be that. I can't do that. I'm not good at that. Here's what. So I thought, in my opinion, the best I ever got when I figured out what I wasn't. And so I've always been pretty good at sort of exiting and entering and getting into stuff I'm good at, getting out of stuff I'm bad at. I was sitting here this morning. So Notre Dame plays USC this weekend, and it's interesting. If you're Brian Kelly, I want you to think about this, Joy. You're Brian Kelly, you coach Notre Dame. So you coach some small school, you win. You go to Cincinnati, you win. You go to Notre Dame, an academic power, small private school, and you win. Not a title, but you prove Notre Dame is now back to being a top 10 program. Let me ask you, isn't now the time for Brian Kelly to bolt after the season? He can't get the same kids into school that LSU, Clemson, Georgia, Alabama can. It's a different. He's proven he rebuilt Notre Dame, and he's an excellent coach. Isn't it time? We're all talking Notre Dame, USC. It's USC making the coaching change. Atlanta's going to be open. Think about the jobs in the NFL. They're going to be open. Atlanta's wide open with Matt Ryan. You almost never get a franchise quarterback in the NFL. You almost never get it. Just a thought. Let's bring in Joel Klatt, his thoughts, the voice of college football, live from the Cotton Bowl, Fox 10 a.m. Eastern, Texas, Oklahoma. Am I nuts? Am I nuts about Brian Kelly?
I don't think you're nuts. I think it just depends on what he wants, right? Because he's kind of earned that right to do what he wants. But you're getting to a point where you start to question where the ceiling is at with Notre Dame.
I think they've hit it. Am I nuts?
Maybe not. You know, I mean, being within six on the last possession at Georgia.
That's as good as you're going to do.
Maybe, but I think that's top end. I mean, look at this year, right? I think that this year we're as deep as we have been in a long time in college football, I'm saying, in kind of the royal we, in terms of national title contenders. And I don't think that they're going to have the resume to get in because of that loss to Georgia. But if you put every team on a neutral, I think Notre Dame's right there with everybody. So maybe he is more in line with, hey, I want to finish this thing. I want to win a championship at Notre Dame.
That's not realistic. I don't think that's realistic. I think for a private school coach with tougher than average academic standards, winning 13 games, tip of the cap.
Sure.
That is, I'll defend Brian, and I'm not trying to disrupt Notre Dame. They're going to win this weekend by 2 touchdowns. I'm not worried about that. My point is, though, I look at this weekend's game, Notre Dame-USC. We know USC is going to have a new coach in 3 months. Okay, let's get past that. I think Brian Kelly, I would look at the NFL right now and say, I got a chance now with all these college concepts going pro. This is the time for me to move.
Now you have to wonder, and this is not a knock against Brian. I think Brian's a wonderful coach.
Yes.
I really do. And he's done a marvelous job at Notre Dame, and I think they're one of the best teams in the country right now. Having said that, let's say you're Atlanta. You said the Atlanta opening, right? Let's say you're the Falcons. You have Matt Ryan. Just sake of argument, do you target Brian Kelly or Lincoln Riley more?
Lincoln Riley's not leaving Oklahoma. He's like 17 years old. Brian Kelly's getting up there. Well, I mean, Brian Kelly's old. Like Brian Kelly.
I love that.
And I know 2 years ago, Brian Kelly had his agent sniff in the NFL, but the timing wasn't right. So I'm Brian Kelly, and I'm sitting there thinking, I win 13 games at Notre Dame. They're now taking all my college concepts. I can just take these things right to the NFL. I get a franchise quarterback. By the way, Kitchens doesn't work. I'd call Brian Kelly in 2 seconds with Baker Mayfield.
I don't wish that on Notre Dame because they've got a really good thing going right now. I love Notre Dame standing right there. And you will say this, I've defended the guys who decide to stay in college. I don't think it's a no-brainer that you need to go to the NFL. Right? If Brian Kelly wants to stay at Notre Dame, let's say he doesn't win a title.
Yeah.
Well, he can stay there for 8 years, 10 years, and you can make a heck of a lot of money doing that at the college level. You are your own GM, right? You are the
dictator. Yeah, but you got to deal with the AD and the boosters and all that nonsense and recruiting.
I'm just saying that I think that it's not a no-brainer that these guys are all going to just jump to the NFL to deal with a GM and deal with an owner and deal with the guys making money out there and start their clock. Because remember, if you don't win in the NFL, you're going to be out in 3 years. Ask Chip Kelly. If push came to shove and you said, Chip, go back to your decision to leave Oregon, was it the best decision?
Not great.
Okay, so there you go. So there's just an argument for staying in college.
Here's Klatt's top 10, by the way. Ohio State, LSU, Bama, Oklahoma, Georgia, Clemson, Wisconsin, Texas, Notre Dame, Florida. So Texas, Oklahoma, pretty close, but the line's 11, meaning Vegas thinks it's going to be a blowout.
Yeah,
do you?
I don't understand that line. I got to be honest. First of all, you look at the history of this game, it's closer than whatever they're ranked.
And there's
been
a lot of upsets.
There's been some upsets in this game, in particular the Texas side upsetting Oklahoma. Look at Todd Orlando, the defensive coordinator for Texas, and Tom Herman and their success against Oklahoma. Since Lincoln Riley has gotten to Oklahoma, they've lost to virtually no one twice. Houston with Herman and Todd Orlando, and last year in the Cotton Bowl. So these guys have gotten Oklahoma twice. Ellinger is a terrific player.
He's a terrific player.
And quite frankly, Texas is kind of the more physical team, and you get into these rivalry games, and if you can establish the run and you can stop the run on the other side, you've got a great chance. I thought that line was crazy. I think Oklahoma could win this game. I think Texas could win this game. I think it's going to be a great down to the wire game. I'll be shocked if this is not a one score game late.
But you know, it's really interesting on this Ellinger, this quarterback for Texas, who has some real Tebow qualities as a leader. You know, it's funny. I initially looked at him and I thought, no, he's not an NFL guy. He's just a good college guy. I wonder if he could play on Sundays.
I think he can. And one of the things that he doesn't get enough credit for is his ability to throw the ball down the field. You're seeing some of the highlights right now. He actually throws the ball better outside of the numbers than most people give him credit for. He's a great back shoulder thrower. Devin Duvernay, their slot receiver, has done a heck of a job for them. He's got tall wide receivers on the outside. Colin Johnson, he's getting back this week. Ellinger does not get the credit as a thrower he deserves. He doesn't get the credit in the Heisman race that he deserves. This guy is one of the best players in the entire country. Oklahoma knows it because Ellinger was great last year against them. He threw for over 300 yards in this game. In every single game this year, he's had at least three total touchdowns.
Yeah, he throws a good – I got to tell you, when I watch him play, he's a playmaker. I like him. I think he looks a little small, but, you know, Kyler Murray's 5'7.5", 5'9.5". He won last weekend. I think the guy looks like an NFL quarterback.
When I – say this, I have to preface it by saying I think Tim Tebow is one of the top three or four college players I ever saw.
Yeah, agree.
I mean, everything
agree.
Taken into consideration.
Yeah,
leadership, running ability, everything.
Ellinger's better.
Ellinger is a much better thrower of the football.
Oh, God, not even close.
Not even close. And I've said that, and people say, oh, it's a knock on Tim. It's not a knock on Tim. Right. It's just
so I'm going to throw this at you.
Throw away.
Okay. So I don't know if you can wrap your brain around this. It's pretty high.
We'll
end.
See.
It's very high
we'll
end
see.
Concept.
I'm just a dumb jock.
Yeah. So most of the time, you play college football,
okay,
and you have a coach, ball coach. Then you go to the NFL, and the NFL coach is way better. You're getting an older coach.
I disagree with that.
Well, just try to stay with my premise.
Okay.
So there are exceptions that Nick Saban may be, along with Belichick, the best secondary coach that's ever lived.
Okay.
So his corners go to the NFL, and they're not usually very good because – they don't get the coaching, and he squeezed every ounce of juice out of that orange, right? So Lincoln Riley, Baker Mayfield is regressing.
Oh, here we go.
No. His mechanics are regressing. His accuracy has gone from 64 to 56. That's with added weapons. I'm just telling you, the further he gets away from Lincoln Riley, I saw this with Jeff Tedford in college. You're going to tell me Freddie Kitchens is as good as Lincoln Riley?
No, Freddie Kitchens is not as good.
Baker Mayfield's regressing.
He is regressing, and I think it's twofold, okay?
Okay.
There is some truth to what you're talking about, and Freddie is not providing the type of wins on the outside that Baker was accustomed to in college. And this is something that all of us said when he was coming out of college, is that Lincoln did an unbelievable job of getting guys wide open. And the same could be said for Kyler Murray. The same can be said for Jalen Hurts.
You make a good point.
Is incredible at doing that. So you have to make more tight window throws at the next level than what you do at Oklahoma for Lincoln Riley, in part because he's such a great play caller. And then the other side of that is, OU had a great offensive line. Four of those guys that Mayfield played behind were going to the NFL.
I think Baltimore's got half of them.
Yeah, Baltimore has a bunch of them. Four of them got drafted last year who were in front of Murray. And Baker's offensive line, Cleveland's offensive line is awful. So when you couple the fact that you're going to be asked to do something that is much more tedious, which is make tighter window throws on time, which he can. He's got the talent to do that. And then I think that the pass rush is getting into his head. He's pulling the ball down a lot sooner than he used to. He's worried or aware of the rush much more than he used to be.
Yeah, when you get hit, you start being aware of it.
Exactly. And part of this is the fact that they just don't protect him at all. And that's not an excuse for Baker. He's played, in particular, Monday night, he played awful. He absolutely played awful. One of the things that he never did in college, and he got away with it, is he never had to step up in the pocket. Every quarterback's first move, unless they are going to escape, has got to be up in the pocket, because that's how the pocket is made. That's what the offensive line is expecting at the next level, and that's what Baker is not doing right now. Right now, all he does is he kind of stops, and then he moves right or left, and that's what he's getting himself into some trouble. But the offensive line has been terrible, and you do have some truth to your statement. I wrapped my brain around it. Yeah, I heard what you said. I wrapped my brain around
it. Not just breaking down running plays here. It's a big concept.
And there was some truth to it, yes.
Yeah. You know, we're kind of a high-end show here.
I think that there's more quality coaches at the college level than the NFL.
Oh, God.
Level. There is. There absolutely is. When you encapsulate development, creativity, when you talk about evolving the game forward.
Well, yeah, I think they take more chances at the college level. It is clever. It's a clever game. It's
clever.
Fun.
Clever. Interesting. I think that's an interesting word. I just – when I go around – the NFL is a revolving door of the exact same guys, and they don't develop anybody. You look at all the fired staffs, guess what they do? They just go put on different hats the next year and different windbreakers. You go to the Senior Bowl. I go every single year to the Senior Bowl down in Mobile, Alabama.
Yeah.
Guess what I see? The exact same guys in different logos.
Tell me
I'm wrong.
Okay. By the way, I just want you, we have the Brian Kelly, Lincoln Riley thing, and I don't want you, you know, a lot of times you avoid the tough topics.
Oh, so, I do. Interesting. Okay.
So right now, I don't want none of this like, well, let me think about it. Let me bake on it. I'm going to hold you accountable. You know, some show has to. Okay. No.
Spit it out. Let's go.
No qualifying on this. Best coach in college football.
Right now?
Yes.
Nick Saban.
Okay. Two.
Dabo Swinney.
Three.
Lincoln Riley.
Four.
Ryan Day.
Oh, give me a break. He's been there an hour and a half. Brian Kelly.
You ask for answers, you get answers. Quit complaining.
Brian Day.
No, it's not Brian. It's Ryan.
Ryan Day.
Ryan.
You don't have Brian Kelly ahead of – you think that today –
you didn't ask me for my next one.
No. Today, you have Ryan whatever
– Day.
Ahead of Brian Kelly.
Well, they have the best team in the country right now.
That's Urban's – Urban did that.
I mean
– how many players did he recruit?
I love Urban, but he didn't put that product on the field.
Oh, he won 24 of his first 25 games. Well, did your TV not work for that one too? I'm giving you high-end concepts here. I'm not sure –
you didn't. First of all, you did not extend the list. My next guy was going to be Brian Kelly.
Who's six?
Oh, that's a great question. Probably Tom Herman.
Okay.
And then probably Kirby Smart. Like, that's when you get to, like, the Kirby Smart, Tom Herman.
You know what you like? You like flashy guys.
James Franklin.
You know
would
what
be
I
right
like? I like Brian Kelly. He's a Milwaukee cop. I'm grounded.
Oh, you're grounded.
And the other guy I like is the guy at Wisconsin. They got no players in that state. Paul Chryst, who wears sweatshirts to a wedding. You ever notice I like the salt of the earth guys? You're all there up there with the good looking guys. I got nothing but salt of the earth.
Here's what your viewers don't understand, whether they're listening or even watching right now on FS1
because you're
behind your big desk right now. This guy's talking about being salt of the earth.
Yeah.
He's got shoes right now that cost – Joy, how much do those Goose shoes cost?
He does have expensive shoes on, but also Colin does not believe in sweatpants.
Oh, and you don't believe in sweatpants.
No, when I get home, I am
– Joy, do you know how much those shoes cost?
I don't.
Top of your head, I believe they're well over
$500.
And they're one of these things, you can put them out there. Walk out here. Show everybody.
He does wear them a lot, so it's not like,
well, it looks like he wears them a lot, because they're one of these brands that's supposed to be like, oh, they're worn in when you buy them. It's like buying ripped jeans for $1,000, Mr. Salt of the Earth.
I don't buy my shoes. My tailor does. Whoa!
Oh!
Joking. You can't joke anymore, America.
Do you get your sweatpants tailored?
All right, get out of here, Joel Klatt. The game is Texas-Oklahoma. I'm not going to ask you who's going to win. I like Oklahoma, but I think it's pretty close. It's a great rivalry.
I'm not going to tell you who's going to win.
All right, it's good seeing you.
You too.
It's good seeing you.
Watch out for Texas Tech this week.
All right, I'm going to take a break.
There it is,
nice. Almost upset.
I'm not even going to acknowledge they play.